You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Sam, listeners, Light Years Podcast, do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How do you like to hit the reset button to get ready for what's next? There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Wow, that's amazing. That way you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open up a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment and made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Pascal, bro.
You know, I turn off the Niners game. I turn on the Warriors game. And I see a future
Jameis,
super
Jameis Garoppolo.
Did you like that? Did you like that comparison?
Well, it's funny, but I don't think it's accurate.
Little reverse jinx because he goes ahead and wins the game for him. Literally,
goes ahead and throws a terrible pass that Jeff Wilson catches.
Okay, listen, heavy pressure. All right, the other team went full engage eight. Whoa, what's going on out there? And you know he wins the game for him.
Not everyone. Not everyone can be Derek Carr and just have an immaculate game today.
I think somebody's dying outside. You hearing that?
Yeah, he heard you trying to talk about Jimmy G and Gabe Kapler, and someone just started dying on the sidewalk.
Warriors fans, I mean, I shouldn't say Warriors fans. Well, I should say Warriors fans. Warriors fans on the timeline are not happy about Gabe Kapler. Not happy about Gabe Kapler.
I think
not
that's happy overblown. About,
what's that?
I think that's overblown.
Yeah, I think people just care whether he wins or not. I think the rest of the stuff is worth a conversation, but I think most fans don't even know what's going on. I had a couple of my coworkers ask me kind of, hey, what's going on with that? And then I had to explain that situation, and I explained the Larry Bear thing, and they're like, wait, what? What went on there? And I was
isn't
just
that,
like, listen.
Isn't that the most – doesn't, like, talking about your coworkers bring you back to earth? Because, like, you get online, and people talk about this stuff like, you know, one, it's common – news, and two, like, everyone's been found guilty of every accusation, right?
Well, I guess, which is not to say it's not something worth talking about. I just think that people think it's just – they think, like, everybody already knows what's going on too. And then, yeah, you're right. And then the other thing is also there's never really any nuanced conversation around it outside of, hey, either you're right or either you're wrong, when, in fact, maybe some of the times nobody really knows when anybody is right or wrong. Well, welcome to Twitter.
Indeed. Welcome to the internet in 2019.
Welcome to the Light Years Podcast.
Yeah, man. So let's get back on topic. Pascal 30 tonight.
It is interesting that with D'Angelo Russell out, he tends to go off every single time. I don't know what to make about that. I don't know.
I do. I'm just saying. I do. The ball's in his hands more. it's not that, like, actually, this was a great stat. I really appreciated this one. I think I've noticed over the last months, like, media has far more influence in terms of the way fans think than, like, I even gave him credit for. So, like, all I hear since they get D'Lo is how he's a bad player in a trade chip. You've heard that too, right? ball stomper, won't fit the Warriors. And like anytime he has a ball in his hands and takes two dribbles, it's like, oh, why doesn't he pass the ball? You know? And it's like, what do you want to do? Pass it to Glenn Robinson III, who's going to then dribble into a contested shot? Like, he's let him operate out of pick and roll a little bit, right? But what I was getting at was the Nets last year were eighth in passes per game. Okay, eighth. Not bad. Top 10 in terms of sharing the ball. This year, when they switch D'Lo for Kyrie, 28th. Which is to say, I mean, D'Lo doesn't move the ball like Steph because, contrary to popular opinion that Steph is just a shooter, he's one of the fastest passers in the league and keeps the ball moving at a pace that no one else in the league can. D'Lo, I mean, he does kind of dribble the ball a little bit and kind of sit on the ball a lot, but he's not that guy. He's not Kyrie Irving. He's not James Harden.
That is interesting because Kyrie Irving is the pinnacle of ball stopping machines. You watch D'Angelo Russell, though. He does kind of stop the ball.
I mean, he stops the ball because all-stars stop the ball. Steph's just the exception. That's the thing. Steph is the exception in terms of point guards who can score at an elite level who doesn't stop the ball.
Well, I also think D'Angelo Russell would be fine kind of not having the ball in his hands. Now, which is not to say he could play off ball because I don't think he can right now.
Yeah, I'd agree with you.
But yeah, you know, I think that's very fascinating because Kyrie Irving definitely doesn't ever want the ball out of his hands. The irony is
Kyrie's skill set is, I mean, he's number two to Steph in terms of just combination of shooting ability and handle, right? Like he's a better shooter than Dame.
Well, hey, how about the greatest innovator of all time? Don't you forget?
16 for 41.
49. Can we talk? Actually, you know what? Can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah, let's go there.
It's just ridiculous. 41 shots to get 49 points. And all I see and all I hear from everyone again on the internet is that this guy is like the greatest offensive mastermind in our time or of all time. Remember the Michael Jordan stuff that was coming on the offseason?
My whole thing is someone was trying to argue he's better than Kobe Bryant, and I'm not having that. Like, I'm officially, like, I'm Oscar Robertson here going, like, no, that's not a real thing.
Well, that's just untrue.
Yeah, like, because
you can't argue that.
Because anytime Kobe took 35 shots, Phil would skewer him that he was hijacking the – rightfully, by the way. You know, like, we complain about Kerr, and my thing with Kerr is I think he – to be honest, some of it's on Steph, but – It's too much, you know? You got to give him a little more freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But in Kobe's case, it was constantly like when Kobe, the 05-06 season when he averaged 35 points a game, he got fourth in the MVP and no one took him serious because they weren't a title contender. Everyone's like,
yep,
he's the best player in the league, but he's not a title contender. There's a Popovich interview where he goes, he's struggling with being the best player in the league, but figuring out how to actually win. And I always thought that was interesting because it's kind of like Pop's basically acknowledging the guy's skills. Like he's the best all around player, but he doesn't know how to use his teammates in an effective way to win. And now 13 years later, all it is, you know, clout chasing culture and some, you know, 14-year-old who's like, I emoji. Oh, in his bag. And it's just kind of like, you know, like James Harden is phenomenally talented, but he's not going to win that way.
So effective way to win is probably the most key thing you said there, because 16-41, anytime somebody has that usage rate, Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, James Harden, right? Anybody like that, Giannis, Kawhi, whomever, like you're going to put up huge stats. You're going to average 30 points when you're going to shoot 40 times or you just have the ball in your – you're going to average, you know, 37-7.
Every like, team scores every over time. 80 points and usually about 100, right?
Like that's someone's going to get those works. Points. Yeah, and it's just I don't understand – well, I do understand why, but it's frustrating to see that as something that, you know, people will say that and then, hey, he's a great player. He's a top three player, when it's not the most effective way to win. It might be in the regular season, but the fact that we've seen it
might be against the Wolves in November.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing with the Warriors. I mean, we can spin it back to the Warriors. We almost wanted that type of offense because we feel like, or at least I feel like, that's the most effective way to win the regular season this season. And we're not talking postseason. That's not really, that wasn't really the Warriors. Like, we can't save everything for the postseason. We got to find a way to win 50 games in the regular season, right? For the Houston Rockets, it's more, well, you're going to win 50 regardless. You're going to make the playoffs. What can you figure out what is the most effective way to win when you do have to play? You know, what happens so when they play the Lakers or the Rocket Clippers?
Rocket fans would counter with, they had, Russ wasn't playing, Eric Gordon wasn't playing, and it was kind of a skeleton squad. What would you respond with that?
Well, that's fair, but the thing is, you need to find a sustainable winning method in the postseason, and you're not going to practice that in the regular season, then what's the point? Because there's always going to be excuses, right? You can always say, even if Russ is there, that's not the way Russ plays, et cetera, et cetera. But if you're just going to keep doing the same thing, we harp on this all the time, and playing the same way, when the time comes, when you got to figure something out and the ISOs aren't rolling, what are you going to do? And I just don't think there's that's a great thing about the Warriors. Even with or without Kevin Durant, is that they could either go, you know, pick and roll heavy with Draymond and Steph, or they can go ISO, or they can go, you know, motion offense. And we got frustrated because maybe sometimes they went too motion offense, but they could essentially run any kind of offense that they want. And that was huge. That's why they kept winning.
Yeah. So I would push back on, let's take this back to Pascal.
I love that.
I mean, D'Angelo Russell is the best player on the team until Steph comes back, and him trying to figure it out with Pascal. I mean, people were just way too quick to jump the shark that, like, oh, D'Lo's dominating the ball. It's like, give him 8 games to figure out the chemistry, right?
And the other thing is with Pascal too, have you noticed he's a much better finisher than he was in the preseason? He couldn't finish a damn thing in the preseason. All of a sudden in the regular season, the guy's just muscling, like, he figured something out. He figured it out quick, which I was surprised about. He's just kind of going through people and then going up to finish. He's not trying to do the thing where
he's not finishing above the rim either.
Mm-hmm. It's not like Draymond, where like Draymond just can't finish. He never really could finish besides that 173-win season. But with Pascal, he's kind of the same size, but like, he'll shoulder you out of the way and then finish, or like do it in one sequence. It's so smooth. It like reminds you of, I mean, he's not LeBron, but it reminds you of that type of finishing ability where it's, I mean, LeBron's also a god athletically, which Pascal isn't, but Pascal's also super athletic. And by the, crazy.
By the way, I thought Pascal and D'Lo were both playing well together in that Boston game until they got injured. Like, that was the first game I saw them both going at the same time to a degree. Although D'Lo did have a ton of turnovers, but the idea that like Pascal couldn't get going with D'Lo, I think it was way overblown.
That game was hard to watch from D'Lo. He had a couple passes to Draymond where it's just like, my goodness. But then it's also, well, when was the last time they kind of played together for an extended period of time, right?
Draymond's just not the type of player he's going to want to play with, because Draymond's not going to finish anything.
How bad has he looked to you this season? Are you frustrated with the way Draymond is playing? Or you just don't care?
Oh, I'm frustrated. I don't know what to make of it, because here's the funny thing. People will say Steph is nothing without the system, but in my opinion, system's benefiting a different player on the Warriors more than anyone, you know? In my opinion, Klay is the one who needs the ball bouncing around to have his massive effect, and certain point forward is far less effective without the ball in his hands, without two of the greatest shooters on the floor. So it's just funny to me.
It is funny when Steph is the system, isn't it? Because Steph could play on ball, he could play off ball. We just kind of whine about what he should play more often than not. Also, Mitchell Trubisky is terrible, even though he just threw a touchdown.
Trubisky's terrible, yes.
With Draymond Green, maybe I'm a homer. Sam, you got to talk me off the ledge. I kind of don't care right now with the way he's playing. I'm kind of, unless you're telling me that he needs to shoot 38% or 40% from three, I already know that's not going to happen no matter what he says.
All right, so hear me on this one.
I don't care.
I think he is a luxury player. I think he's someone who amplifies the right roster, but I do not consider him a core piece anymore. Does that make sense?
Ooh.
You have the right players around him. He's going to make them so much better. But I will not kind of say no to talent because they don't fit with Draymond at this point. That's where I'm at with him going forward, which is, he's always going to be a good defender. He's always going to fit any defensive scheme, and he can be a leader on defense, right? And he's always going to be a good passer. But to be a good passer, you need a requisite amount of scoring and shooting around him.
Well, okay, what do we mean by core player, though? Because if Warriors don't have Draymond Green next season, let's say they flip him for, a young player that's not ready to play in a couple picks, whatever, doesn't matter. They can't win the title without him. Like, that's what I mean by – I still think that he's a core player.
I'm not encouraging you to trade him for the eighth pick overall.
But like Jason Richardson for Brandon Wright. Okay, but in terms of core player, that's my thing. I still think he is. I think he can easily still be the third best player on your championship team, always been.
Hold up here. He cannot be the third best player on a championship team. He is Andre Iguodala now. I don't think it's changing, which is really valuable. Like, Iggy is one of my favorite players of all time, and quite frankly, I'm always going to love Draymond's game. But Draymond cannot be the third best player on a title team. Let me put it this way. He can't score at a high enough clip, and he's just kind of a ball mover at this point. Like, you need three scorers who are better than him.
The Warriors can't win the title next year if they bring back a fully healthy team with D'Angelo Russell, or they trade D'Angelo Russell in the pick for something. That's someone that's not better than Draymond, but let's say is a good wing. And they use the pieces that they have and bring Iguodala back. They can't win a title. I find that hard to believe. Unless the Clippers go 16-3 through the Western Conference this season, I think that's
a Clippers will be better next year.
I don't know. We don't know, though. They're not the Warriors. Like, that team could win a title. I don't know about – they're not going to be favorites, but they'll be in the top five, right? And Draymond would be the third best player on that team.
Clay's 30 off of an ACL. Steph's 32. I think that's a lot of pressure to put on them physically if Draymond's going to give them 7 points a game, is my point. So I'm not saying Draymond can't be an incredibly valuable piece on a title team, but there needs to be someone with those three players who can score the ball, because the days of Draymond being a 15-point-per-game player are gone. And that's my ultimate point. So I'm kind of with you in the sense of, is he the third best player? Well, he might be the third best overall player with everything he does, but he can't be the third option is the better way to put
okay.
it. He can't be your third best scorer. He was the Warriors' third best scorer in 2016. Those days are gone.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's fair. I still think there's enough left in the tank there where if you even put him around here, you bring back Harrison Barnes and you bring back some facsimile of someone that's similar to Andre Iguodala scoring-wise in 2015, still think you could win a title with that team. Because I don't know if he was the third best scorer back then. Sean Livingston was good. Iguodala was good. Harrison Barnes was a shooter. Like, they had
guys
that
were
good.
He was the third leading scorer, but they had eight guys who could get you 15 in any night. But like,
strength in numbers.
Oh God, are we bringing that back? Are we bringing that back?
Strength in rookies right now is what they're doing.
All right, let's talk a little Pascal and D'Lo, and then move to the next topic. First off, do you think Pascal can win Rookie of the Year? Is he going to have like a Brogdon Rookie of the Year campaign? Because right now he's averaging over 16 points a game. And with D'Lo out for a couple weeks, I don't see that going down.
Well, John Morant's pretty cool.
John Morant's awesome.
I think I watched only two games. I'm going to be maybe one game, one and a half of John Morant. I'm not going to lie to the listeners, but he looks pretty neat. He kind of looks like what I thought Markelle Fultz would look like,
right?
Except he's actually confident. He looks super.
He's not a head case.
Yeah. Well, Markelle Fultz looked good today. He made two threes. And a game-clinching dunk. But okay, but with Pascal in terms of rookie of the year, I think Ethan Strauss, friend of the pod, I think he said his odds went from like some astronomical to like what is it now, like 40-1 or something like that, something crazy. Yeah, I think so. If he like, let's say he averages,
he's 18 at six, points. He's at 16.7 points a game.
Whew. Like who? Yeah, he is going to be a Malcolm Brogdon type. I don't know. But the thing with Pascal is, if you did a redraft today, like forget even rookie of the year, if you did a redraft today, where do you think he goes? You think he goes in the top 10? I think he goes at least in the lottery. I think he could be in the top 10. Your boy
Jaw is averaging 19-6. So I kind of think like,
what's he shooting, by the way?
Obviously Zion's going to come back, but Jaw's shooting 47%.
That's pretty good for a rookie.
41 from three takes two a game though. But yes. Jaw looks every bit the real deal, which is pretty cool. It's a good player. Looking at the 2019 draft, I'm pulling it up right now. Okay, Zion still goes number one. Jaw goes number two. RJ Barrett's been pretty good, honestly.
Yeah, no, that's the one. That one's a surprise. Do you feel like Eric Pascal? Let me ask you this. Do you feel like Eric Pascal would be just as good for any other team? Like, it doesn't matter that he's just playing for the Warriors, right? The Warriors are trash. Maybe situationally he has more usage, but don't you think he could be this good for any other team? Like, we just finished talking about Draymond, you know, maybe being
facsimile, right? Of it, I guess.
That's impressive.
Like, I'm looking at Rui Hachimura in Washington.
Shout out to the Asians.
Washington's not a good team. I mean, they got Brad Beal and John Wall's collecting $50 million a year to sit on the bench. So, but Rue's kind of got the same kind of game as Pascal, where he's just really athletic and knows how to kind of finish through people and use the mid-range and do a few things. And he's having a good year on a Washington team that doesn't have much going on. So I don't see why Pascal couldn't be relatively effective. It's not like he's playing next to Steph and Clay. If he was playing Steph and Clay and being effective, I'd be like, okay, man, go stick him on the Go stick him on the Bulls and let's see what happens. But he is
on the Bulls right now. Yeah. Worse than the Bulls.
He's next to Kai Bowman. Actually, I really like Kai Bowman.
I don't know why. I like it. Yeah. I mean, the blonde hair's got to go. I don't know why he's got the Eminem blonde hair, but he looks legit. I did not see that coming.
Here's the thing. He's got that. He's caught a
A shot's ugly, though.
Shot's ugly, but he's a good defender. He definitely has that he could be a Beverly type.
I was just going to say, he's annoying as hell.
Yeah. And then he's got that blonde hair, and I'm like, oh, this guy's for sure insane. There's something behind the scenes here. Like, I don't even want to know it. I don't want to know what Kai Bowman does behind the scenes. But I'm just saying, the bleach blonde hair with the pesky defense, you can't tell me this guy does not have some weird fetishes.
I didn't think you were gonna go there. I didn't think we'd get there, but yeah, no, the guy's partying with Mark Benioff in some dungeon somewhere. It is Dreamforce this week. You know, let's just pretend that the Warriors drafted Kai Bowman in the first round and not Jordan Poole, because ugly it is right now.
I don't want to rip on Poole this week, but my thing is, if they're fully healthy, I always envision Poole playing most of the year in the G League. So I feel bad for him. Like, this is what if Smiley Yeech didn't get hurt and was playing with the big club all year? Like, he'd look terrible too.
Are you still holding on to Jordan Poole stock?
I'm holding on to it because why would I sell it at this?
There's no point. There's no point.
This is just, I mean, if you want to say you never think he'll be a player, that's fine, but I think he can shoot. I think it's going to take him a minute. I think he's in a terrible situation.
Terrible. And it is, I find it fascinating because you look at the two, rookies right now that are playing, and Eric Pascal is in a terrible situation. He's the number one offensive option right now, and he just scored 30 points, and he's done it multiple times. You look at Jordan Poole, who's in a terrible situation, but he probably could be the second and third best offensive option, and he just hasn't been able to show it so far. Which, you know, isn't it really a knock so much on Jordan Poole, rather than, damn, it makes Pascal look good. Like, right. It makes him look good to where it's like you can just put the ball in Eric Pascal's hands and he's getting buckets against NBA defenses. As a rookie, again, he's what, 22? 23, whatever he is. He just turned 23, but still impressive. Top 10 pick in a redraft. Top 10 pick in a redraft.
Yep. All right, is it time to do a read?
Yeah, we got one. All right, let's do Untuck It. So the holidays are almost here, and you know what that means, gifts. And what better gift to give the guy or girl in your life than a stylish shirt that fits just right? Unlike most brands, Untuck It shirts are actually designed to be worn untucked. Untuck It shirts always fall, that's me all the time, always fall at just right length, no matter his size, so he looks casual and sharp. Ever see an untucked button down? They look bad. Why? Because they weren't meant to be worn that way. Thankfully, there's Untuck It, the original button down shirt, actually designed to be worn untucked. No matter your size or shape, Untuck It shirts always fall at the perfect untucked length. And with the holidays near, there's no better gift for your favorite guy who needs an upgrade, or just buy it for yourself. So what you can do is there's more than 50 fit combinations. Untuck It shirts look great on tall, short, slim, and athletic guys of all ages. So just like me and you, Sam. Tall, short, well, not short, slim, athletic.
What's that supposed to mean?
You can find your favorite Untuck It style online or check out one of their 80 brick and mortar stores. Choose from styles like wrinkle-free button downs, super short flannels, outerwear, and more. With Untuck It, your shirts will never look baggy, bulgy, too long, or too big again. And their website is easy to use. They even have a whole page devoted to helping you find your fit. So whether you're shopping for the perfect holiday gift or just crafting, or you're trying to craft a smart, relaxed style of your own, Untuck It is the way to go. That's untuckit.com, code blue for 20% off at checkout. Untuckit.com, promo code blue for 20% off.
All right. Nice, man. I do love me some Untuck It shirts. Solid
how
fit.
How many do you have?
A couple, but they fit well. Good work shirts. Really good work shirts. Really good versatile shirts.
You look like a flannel guy. Like, I feel like you're a flannel guy.
No comment. So our friend, who is in no way on the free agent market and not someone we want the Warriors to sign, Giannis, had some quotes. By the way, I can't take this serious. Grant Lifman, friend of the show with the mustache and the blazer.
I'm gonna text him right now. He does look preposterous. Are you doing November? I was gonna say something else.
But... I'm not a frat boy. Come on.
I mean, you've got a full beard and everything. Like, you could, like someone like me, you don't want to do it, but you could. You could pull it off.
I mean, there's no shortage of hair growing that I can't do. I'm the Jordan of hair growing. But notice Jordan meaning I'm great at it, not the LeBron meaning I tell people I'm great at it.
Yeah, I was gonna.
Back to Giannis. Let's move forward. So would you agree with me? Giannis is probably the next big superstar that no one's sure if he's going to re-sign.
Correct.
Because let's run through this. Who are the other superstars who, you know, like, we're lucky. People don't think Steph's leaving the Warriors because he's had a requisite amount of success here, right? People don't think AD is leaving the Lakers because it's the Lakers. So who are the next superstars who people think might leave? Giannis,
Embiid.
Yeah. Okay. Keep going. Embiid's contract runs 2 years longer than.
Okay, Giannis. He's got a little bit more. He signed one. Karl-Anthony Towns, but his, maybe it's just because I like
his
him.
His contract's also 2 to 3 years longer than Giannis.
That's about it. If you're talking about 1 or 2 years, that's about it, right? I can't think of anyone else.
So Giannis is the next guy coming up, and who knows? He could stay in Milwaukee, but there's noise. So interview, obviously Malcolm Brogdon having an all-star caliber year. Do you think he's going to make all-star?
It's the Eastern Conference, and we make the all-star team. Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Giannis says, definitely wish he was still here. One of my friends, one of the guys that I always teased every day when I see him, call him ugly. We just go back and forth. I'm going to miss that. But at the end of the day, you got to do what's best for you. I wish him the best. I wish his team the best. I'm excited to play against him. Can you imagine this team with also Malcolm? Giannis said. But hey, man, everyone takes their own decision. his decision was to go to Indiana and build a team over there. I think that's what's best for him.
Ooh. Ooh. You know, was that the quote?
That's the full quote. There's more quotes to it, but like, there's nothing that I can, you know, I've paraphrased everything.
Do you know who Malcolm Brogdon sounds like, Sam? Do you know what I'm thinking of?
I think you're thinking of a certain NBA player who is a legend in the strip clubs. The quite opposite. Did you know Malcolm Brogdon's nickname is Humble Moses?
I thought it was like the president
or something. It's also the president.
Humble Moses. I didn't. Who the hell gave him that nickname?
Ironically, he's going to play the same role as a player who's quite different than him personality-wise. Do you know what Brogdon's averaging right now?
In the 20s, right? I looked at the numbers. Yeah, I was shocked. Absolutely shocked.
19, 8, and 5.
That's crazy. That's insane. It's not like the Pacers are an offensive-friendly team, I don't think. Like They're not. Like,
they're not, but they're a good team. And honestly, if Oladipo comes back, him and Oladipo...
Oh, that's a great fit.
That's a nice little backcourt there.
They need to figure out some bonus of Miles Turner. But doesn't Malcolm Brogdon sound a little bit like James Harden? Doesn't Giannis sound like a little bit like Kevin Durant watching his best friend leave? I don't know. It kind of sounded like that when you're reading. I purposely didn't read the quote. I just kind of wanted to hear from you first. And when I heard you say that, it just reminded me of it. Now, Brogdon isn't as good as Harden, but it's certainly the same kind of idea. I mean, the Milwaukee Bucks essentially let him go. He was a restricted free agent. They could have just – the only thing that they'd have to pay for Malcolm Brogdon is tax money and decided not to. So they couldn't use the money anywhere else. And here we are.
So what do you do with – because some things that I've heard are Brogdon didn't want to come back. And that's kind of something that Thunder people said about Harden, which was – they could have matched it, but he wanted to leave. What do you say to that?
So, right?
So you're going with the full immigrant dad, which is, you know, you don't have a say in this. This is my house.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a and you can say that. You can say maybe it's kind of like an NFL mentality too, where it's like whatever I say. But so, like, if I have the power to be able to
– if you're a restricted free agent, I'm going to use your restricted rights.
I'm going to use those rights. I'm going to pay you a lot of money. And look, if you want to be traded a year from now, then ask for a trade. We'll figure out and we'll trade you. We'll get some value for you. But I'm not going to just let you walk and lose a talented player like that. I think the Bucks knew how good Brogdon was. It's not like Brogdon suddenly is averaging 19 points. He was really good on that team. He was – probably the second best player, wouldn't you agree, throughout a lot of those playoffs? It was him, it was Giannis, and then, I mean, Middleton struggled a little bit. But yeah, second or third best player on that team. I don't know how you let that walk. That's indefensible. What else could they have done, right? It's not like they replaced 80 mil with somebody else. They didn't do that. They got Brooke Lopez.
Hey, they got Robin Lopez.
Yeah, I was going to say, sorry, they got Robin Lopez. Right? So I guess the point here is, even if Giannis says all the right things and, you know, he says he wants to stay, it almost does feel like unless they make the NBA Finals or they play 7 games in the Eastern Conference Finals, there's smoke, right? There's something really going on to where he might think of jumping.
Okay, let's move this forward.
I think that's fair. I don't think that's crazy.
No, I agree with you. So if you're the Warriors, do you go all in trying to trade for him in the summer, or would you rather wait for free agency so you don't have to give up everything?
Oh, it's the Lakers dilemma, isn't it? Or the Carmelo dilemma of way back.
So let's assume if you wait for free agency, you can still keep Stephen Clay, which given Daryl Morey's comments and China and the cap situation, we don't know if that's the case in 2 years. It's way too far out to predict, right? But let's just assume it is, right? So let's say your options are, you know, you can keep Pascal at, you know, 20 bucks a year and like Jordan Poole at nothing and whatever rookie you get, but like you got to get rid of D'Lo and Draymond.
Yeah, it'd be the pick D'Lo and Draymond to start and maybe like another future, you would think.
I think it'd be like 3 futures, honestly.
Yeah, something.
I mean,
something
just looking crazy at the price that everyone else has gone for, you giving them a bunch of pick swaps. But in my opinion, it's worth it because he's 24. He's going to be 25 at Christmas. And, you know, as long as you have Giannis in his 20s, you're not going to be picking above 20.
I agree with you. You do whatever you need to get Giannis. As long as you have Steph, you have Clay, you have Giannis.
And here's my take. I don't think they can get him in free agency. I think they have to trade for him. I think if he gets to free agency in 2021, I don't know that he's going to be attracted to playing with 33-year-old Steph and 31-year-old Clay. I think he might be looking at Dallas and seeing Luka, who's 21, and Kristaps, who's 24. We might be looking at Atlanta and seeing like Trey, who's 22, 23. You get what I'm saying? Like all of a sudden the Warriors are like, oh, I'd have liked to play with those guys, but like they got 1-2 years left in them. These other guys I could build a, you know, long-term thing with. I really think I think this is where the Warriors getting that pick and kind of stockpiling assets is huge, because I don't know that they're going to be able to get a young free agent.
We also don't know how Giannis, you know, what Giannis, his mindset is, right? Because everybody's different. Kevin Durant was probably the most different that we've ever seen. Just someone who would go to a team like the Warriors, and then someone that would leave the team like the Warriors. Never before seen. I don't know if that's ever going to happen again. Anthony Davis, who went to the Lakers when they're terrible, but essentially just for LeBron James, and LeBron's 34. So you talk about Steph and Klay being how old they are. LeBron's even older than when he got Anthony Davis.
Well, so Giannis, his agent is LeBron's best friend. He's just getting money under the table.
Switched his agent to him. It wasn't like he always had that agent. So we don't know. Maybe Giannis switches his agent to, you know, whoever, who the hell ever Steph has or whatever it is. But yeah, it's hard.
Well,
how much do we know about Giannis? That's like the Kevin Durant thing in OKC. How much do we know about KD back then? Well, apparently not much. How much do we know about Giannis now? I don't know.
I think my thing I want to tell Warrior fans is I feel very confident the Warriors will have a seat at the table when he wants to make that decision, but only one team gets him. And just because they're one of the final five doesn't mean that they're going to get him, right?
It also kind of fits into like, I think we know that Steph loves, you know, kind of, he loves Joel Embiid. I think that's also a kind of a guy that they've pinpointed to see, you know, when he's a free agent, that's someone that they're going to want to get as well. How close is Steph with Giannis kind of thing? Because we understand that a lot of the reason why Kevin Durant came over was I want to be part of Steph, Clay, Draymond, Iguodala, all of these guys. And we don't know how close they are. I mean, there is Team USA coming up, but Giannis doesn't play on Team USA, right? So that's another thing as well, because, you know, that was one of the reasons, you know, kind of how the Warriors came together a few years ago. It's crazy.
All I'm saying is he can love Steph. He can respect him. He can say he wants to play with him. He probably wants to play with six different players. And, you know, if Steph is number two on that list, it's not like you split him in half and you get him for half the games. You know, he only picks one team.
I think that the Warriors, they're going to make that trade 100 times though. You know, if that thing is on the table, I don't think there's a chance that they say no. Like there's no
chance. I agree with you. So this brings up the question, which is the number one priority for the Warriors between now and whenever that comes up should be what? And that's developing and stockpiling as many assets as you can get, right?
Mm-hmm. Lose a lot of games, which is essentially what they're doing
now. Who cares
now
about losing the games? But it's like develop Pascal, because now you got a second round player.
Whoa! That's an untradeable player right there.
Stop! But,
okay. You're gonna have to keep Giannis. I mean, you're gonna have to say no.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, the goal should be to make every asset the maximum version of itself. So, for Warrior fans who feel the season's lost, that should be kind of like the number one thing, which is, you know, Giannis could be traded next summer. We don't know that, but you know, it's going to have you have a better shot at that. It's not just the draft pick. It's Jordan Poole looking decent in the second half of the year. It's Pascal being more than just, you know, kind of a cool story, right? It's trading Alec Burks for an extra pick. It's, you know, keep going down the line, right? It's Omari Spellman doing something. So you're like, okay, he's kind of a player.
I think it's more important though that the Bucks lose and they lose early and they lose in the way that I just compared him to Kevin Durant's situation, but now I'm going to compare it to because I think Kevin Durant thought he was going to leave that year. I think I'm going to compare it to LeBron James in Cleveland, to where it almost felt like it was just Giannis and himself and LeBron and himself. And I think that there's going to come a frustration point where Giannis is going to look around this postseason. I still think maybe that they could beat the Sixers, but let's say they lose to him. And he says, well, how can we get better here? Right? How can we get better? And if we're not going to get better, what's the point of me staying? Why would I sign a 4-year extension with you guys? Why would I sign the max extension with you guys? If he's not going to do that, then the Milwaukee Bucks are going to say, well, we're not just going to let you hang for the year, right? Then those conversations start to happen. Then it's going to be sharks in the water. You know, it's going to be like the Lakers going to come in and the Warriors going to come in, Miami.
Toronto.
Yeah, all these teams. Wow. But Giannis and Toronto, that's a championship team. But Giannis.
What about Giannis and Dallas?
Yeah. I mean, what are they going to give up, though? Just like 18 picks in like 36 years?
Just all of them. Maybe 2020, 2040.
Yeah. But I think that's kind of like the – but isn't it setting up to be that way? Don't you – I know you watch a lot. You watch a lot of hoops that's just not the Warriors. Don't you watch the Milwaukee Bucks and don't you get that feeling? You don't feel like that's a championship team, do you?
Like, no, you don't feel they're in a bad situation. Obviously, Middleton's hurt now and, you know, that's a – but it's a short-term injury. It's going to hurt their win-loss, but, like, he's going to come back fine. But watching them, it's like I don't know that Bledsoe got any better. I think he's probably got worse. And they were kind of dependent on Brogdon. Brogdon was – I don't want to say he was their Lou Will or their Steph or anything like that, but he was like – he's kind of their counterpunch, right? They needed that guy because that's not Middleton. That's not Giannis. And now they don't have it, and it's like Dante DiVincenzo. And, you know, they're always going to play good defense because they have Giannis and Middleton, and, like, that alone makes you a top-10 defense, right? But, like, where are they going from there, right? They're just kind of stuck.
Yeah, they Brogdon was a shot creator, a good shooter. And with Bledsoe, he's just less consistent, even if he's good defensively. So they needed all of those guys because – outside of Giannis, they really didn't have any other A-list players. So when you get down to that, it's like, you got to kind of keep them. But we'll move on. We'll see what happens there. Do we have another? We did have a take. You had a Clippers take that we want to get to.
I don't know that I'm ready to go on my Clippers take. Our friend, God, I can't take Grant seriously right now. What was I gonna say?
You're watching the Warriors post game and not the Rams. I guess you don't care about the NFC.
No, no, I do. It's the remote's on the other side of the room and I can't get up and change it. Grant, we love you, but the mustache gotta go. Paul George came back and he's been absolutely amazing, and it's just a reminder to me that. I would rather take a wing like Paul George, who maybe isn't a first option, over a lot of players who people deem better. That's my take.
I'd rather have
Paul George than Anthony Davis or James Harden.
There we go.
I don't think any of those guys can be the best player on a title team. I'd rather have Paul George as my number two, though.
Got it. So your point is, you don't think that James Harden and Anthony Davis can lead a team to a title or be the first option. So if you're not going to want them as the first option, give me Paul George as the two option rather than James Harden and Anthony Davis as the two option.
Yeah, this changes if Anthony Davis actually buys into playing center all the time, just to be clear. But he doesn't. Right now he's playing like LaMarcus Aldridge. And he's really good, and he's an amazing defender. But I'd rather have the wing who can D up 1-4 and score like that and shoot like that than the guy who needs his 20 post-up touches to defend.
I think I'm with you.
Is that a hot take?
I think I'm with you. I think it is a hot take just in terms of if you look at what James Harden has accomplished, you know, kind of in the regular season. let's not forget that it's not like Paul George is an all-time great playoff performer or even a great playoff performer. So he's probably mediocre at best in the postseason. So I'd hesitate to say I'd rather have him, but I see your point. With Anthony Davis, I just don't think we've seen him enough in the postseason, which is kind of a problem. He hasn't led anyone in the postseason besides a couple times. But I'm with you on I think I'd rather have Paul George than James Harden as my two guy. I think I'd still rather have Anthony Davis, though. I just think that if you're talking about two-way players, James Harden is not going to be a two-way guy. But I'd rather have the guy that could protect the rim rather than the guy that could protect the wing in the postseason.
I'd rather the guy doesn't quit on games. So, I don't know. I think it's fair. I think if Anthony Davis committed to playing the center, I don't think it's a question because I think he's the best center in the NBA when he wants to be it. But the amount of time he spends saying he's not a center and the amount of post-up touches he demands in a LaMarcus Aldridge type of way, I don't know, man. It's maybe he grows out of it, but it's he's not so – here's the thing. LeBron does that, but LeBron is so much better than everyone that you deal with it, right?
Yeah.
Anthony Davis is not that much better than Paul George, so you deal with it.
Yeah, that's fair. I think a lot of the times, too, people don't realize how much kind of the how much the mental side matters, how much somebody is willing to sacrifice matters. It's easier. It's going to be easier for Paul George, someone like Paul George to sacrifice and Pia 2 option because Paul George has never really been the number one guy. Even when he was on those Pacers teams, I mean, kind of everybody was the number two guy. So it's easier for him to sacrifice.
18 apiece across the board. Yeah.
Across the board, right? They're like the shitty Detroit Pistons that won the title. But you look at Anthony Davis, you can just tell, right? Like, he's always been the number one guy, so you ask him to take a step back. It's like, ooh, that's kind of always why it was so, like, cool to watch the Warriors, because you can kind of tell Klay, too. He's kind of comfortable who he is, what option he is, Draymond, even Steph, and then it worked with Kevin Durant because those guys could – hey, KD could be comfortable being the two or the one. I mean, until the last season, but they were comfortable being able to do that. And, yeah, you're right. I mean, like, look at Carmelo Anthony, who's in the league now again. Somehow, the Blazers were a mess. But he also got
Dame to sign that extension, and he's like immediately guts the team and gives him Melo. Like,
yeah, that's a ooh. But
it's when you sign a contract with your client, and you're like, oh, I'm going to take care of you. The minute you sign it, you're like, all right, now it's time to fuck up.
It's like if I sign with you, you got to sign my boy DeAndre Jordan. Says KD and Kyrie. But with Carmelo, it always felt like to me, like the reason why he couldn't win more was it was just mentally. He didn't ever want to sacrifice money, which is fine. But he also never wanted to sacrifice who he was on the court either and play a style that would benefit everyone. I mean, you can kind of say that about James Harden, right? And like Russell Westbrook.
Yep.
I guess it remains to be seen with Anthony Davis. I like him. I just, oh, God. But hey, to this point, though, the Clippers, they don't have a really good record, but man, who's gonna beat him?
We got a lot of season to get into this, but we got to go over to the premium side.
Oh yeah, that's true.
We got to do a little love the game, love the fame. I think we're gonna get into it with a little Kaepernick, a little Harden, a little MJ. Might even get to some Al Davis.
Oh boy.
All right, man. Let's flip it over there. You guys should subscribe. Go. How do they subscribe, Andy?
So you do Blue Wire Pods Lite-Years-Premium. And from there, all the directions are there. So really easy, 99 cents for the first month. And then $5 from then on out. Pretty simple. So you'll get recap episodes. You'll get interviews, exclusive interviews. You will get
free stuff, free shirts.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We've been giving out free shirts like every week.
Right. There'll be some other free stuff. I don't want to give away what we're giving, you know. You guys got to just take the leap of faith.
Nice.
But anyway, yeah, we'll get over there.